Episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your host, Corey Kinnon, alongside Dalton Miller. And following up off of last week's series of summer scouting based on school and based off of postseason rankings, we're going to start with Notre Dame today and do Notre Dame offense as they finished number two in the nation last year. So, Dalton, happy Father's Day, first of all. It's 14 minutes past Father's Day, 15 minutes past Father's Day by the time we're recording this episode in Eastern Standard Time. But happy Father's belated Father's Day to you.
And 5 hours and 15 minutes for me. But I guess if we're talking, you know, it's a U.S. holiday. Father's Day here was a little bit different time. But yes, thank you for that. And happy Father's Day to you as well. I also, on Father's Day, got a timeline to become a father again. Not saying that she's pregnant. She's not pregnant right now.
Oh, I thought you were just
No. I'm not breaking that news right
now. Oh, man.
I'm just saying that there were talks yesterday about the timeline for when number two is going to start. Because that timeline and my own personal bodybuilding timeline don't mesh very well. So this is going to be an interesting thing to push forward towards. But anyways, Notre Dame, I'm not a fan of any team in college football. I kind of root for Penn State because that's kind of where I grew up and all my buddies went there, but I really kind of root for organizations and the way that they're run, which is the reason why I don't root for Clemson. I love and adore everything about Notre Dame, about the way that they are run right now. They are what I believe to be the quintessential college football, I guess, organization, culture. I just think that the way that they play the game is wonderful. And you'll probably hear that a little bit of bias in my notes sometimes, especially with the defensive guys and the way that they're coached in the secondary. But it extends to the way that their offensive linemen play as well. And you'll hear that when Corey and I argue about the offensive linemen on this football team.
I love it. So with this Notre Dame team, obviously the place to start is in the backfield, because they got three guys who had a plethora of carries last year. One isn't draft eligible in Anias Williams, but the other two are draft eligible, and they're both a boatload of fun. Let's start with Jadarian Price, and then let's do Jeremiah Love after Jadarian Price.
You want to do Price first?
Yeah, because I want to do Love last, but not last of the off, not last of the episode, but last. I want to end the running backs on Love. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what are your My impressions of Price are well known. I was actually tweeting about him, I think, in week one against Florida State last year. He immediately caught my eye. So
Texas I want to hear what,
Texas A&M. Yeah, sorry. Wrong game. I just remember being in the mountains and watching those two games and seeing him. I couldn't remember who they played.
Yeah. My immediate thought is, like, he plays shot out of a cannon. Like, as soon as that football's in his hands, it's like it's full go, for better or for worse sometimes. But he's shot out of a cannon, and the linear juice in that dude's legs is extremely noticeable. I think the second thing that pops into my mind is that Jadarian Price almost feels like one of those running backs who becomes a better pro than they are a college running back, because they're not playing in somebody else's shadow anymore at the NFL level. Or they are, but it's in like a designated committee, right? Like, Notre Dame's not a committee. Notre Dame is Jeremiah Love is tired. Let's put somebody else on the football field. Like, that backfield revolves around Jeremiah Love more or less. So Jadarian Price has the feeling of a back who, like, is going to make a better pro than he is a college player. And that's not to say he's not a great college player. Like, he is. But very much my opinions watching him were north-south explosiveness is crazy, is wicked explosive, wicked explosive.
He's it's a bit like it's hard. I think shot out of a cannon is the way to say it. I do. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's kind of tempered, because there are times where he has the little bit of like Le'Veon Bell to him, where he'll receive a handoff and he'll just like be there for a second. It's like his dial up is going, and then he immediately hits fiber and it's gone. And you're right. Yeah. He's shot out of a cannon, and it's surprising at his size to see him consistently catch the edge. Mm-hmm. And to have him at his size be able to bend and get out there as well. The other thing that I really like to watch with guys like that, because there are like bowling ball guys like that a lot, and we saw a couple in this past draft class, I think with him, the little micro movements right before contact to sometimes break tackles, but more often than not, get two or three extra yards and mm-hmm. fall forward and not take the huge hit, instead take a little bit more of a glancing blow. And I think that's something that I have really started to like quite a bit in running backs. I think that it takes that innate ability to take away the big hit is going to help him with injury prevention at the NFL level as well. But overall, yes. And sometimes I think when we talk about this, like, oh, he might be a better pro than a college player, it's not necessarily that they're going to be better. They're just going to be more productive because they're not in a heavy committee or in a shadow. Mm-hmm. I look at it like the Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, like all those Georgia running back committees that were the five-star, just running through those guys. So that is kind of how I feel about Jadarian Price as well. The qualms that I have with both of them is when it's a passing down, they ain't on the field.
It's true.
Number 20 comes on the field.
Yep. It's a pretty big tell. I have that in my notes about Jeremiah Love. One of like two or three negative notes is like you don't manufacture touches for him. And it's the same thing with kind of Jadarian Price. Like, they're not isolating them in the passing game. They're not sticking them out in the slot. They're not motioning them along the boundary, trying to even use them as any sort of
diagnoser.
Yeah. Jeremiah Love's pass pro is a little passive. A little bit passive.
And they just don't do it often.
Not often at all. No. He'll throw his body around, but like almost recklessly and like eyes down. And
a lot of the like times what they're doing is throwing their bodies just as a check and release. And that's mostly what they do, is they'll either come out to the edge or fill the A gap and then release. They don't actually just sit there in pass protection. It's concerning if we don't see much of it this year.
Agreed. We'll see. But with Jeremiah Love, then, man, like, that's about the extent of my negative column on him. It was the pass pro thing, the receiver thing. That's about it, man. That I in my negative, like, his eyes are fantastic. His patience are fantastic. Some of the stuff we loved about Caleb Johnson last year, about how fast his feet are and how sync his feet are in with his, like, the rest of his body and his movements, I see the same thing with Jeremiah Love. And almost in the same way we talked about Price and shot out of a cannon, when Love is ready to go, like when he's made his decision and he's going to fire out, that dude fires out. Not to mention, I also think that he probably has tree trunks for, it's hard to tell on tape from all 22, but I would guarantee that dude probably got some tree trunks for quads, because he is an ungodly dude to try to bring to the ground on first contact. Some of those red zone runs where he's just like bouncing off dudes and finding a way to stretch the ball in the end zone is unbelievable. The like ease at which, like, he'll, even at the line of scrimmage, it doesn't have to be at the goal line or like in the open field, the ease at which he'll just be like, oh, I'm going to spring here, and he'll just jump over the line of scrimmage and like fall forward for 4 yards. It's like, his explosiveness is easy explosiveness. And then I even think he's really creative, man. Like on his jump cuts, second level cuts, sometimes he'll start inside and then find that second level hole towards the boundary and find a creative way to get to the boundary from like his initial hole. Like there's so much to love about Jeremiah Love.
I found it peculiar that he was listed at like 205, because like you said, he's almost impossible to bring down on first contact. Here we go. He is the evolution of the Saquon Barkley as a college prospect.
Yeah.
In relation to Barkley was a free range chicken at Penn State, because he had to go out there and make plays behind a bad offensive line and just do whatever he could and find whatever green grass he could and then try to make a huge play. Jeremiah Love superpower is being able to scan and find green grass and have that creativity when he gets the ball, when he gets to the line of scrimmage, and then once he gets past the first level as well.
Mm-hmm.
He is unbelievably creative. And yeah. And I posted a thread of some of his runs just from the Virginia game where he sees things that nobody else in the world would ever see. And you talked about it when you talked about Caleb Johnson and the feet, that vision, that innate vision and in zone running for Caleb Johnson. That's the type of free range creativity that Jeremiah Love has. I'm not sure if I've seen it before. And then when you pair that with the rare ability to create explosiveness, even laterally as he's moving with his hips perpendicular to the sideline. So like he'll literally like be karaokeing to get outside and be beating the second level defenders to get to the edge before he actually swivels, plants, and drives out. Like this dude is an outrageous athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He has all of the long speed in the world, and you can tell that by all of the 40 plus yard runs that he has in the books. You look at his longs for every game and it's like 72, 85, 63, 54, 44, 72. Like the dude is everything that you want as a runner at the college football and at the NFL level. The only weaknesses that I see from him, period, are that 20 comes on the field on obvious passing downs. He doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield, and there isn't a lot of pass pro. Hopefully, 20 ain't in the building anymore, and hopefully him and Price are on the field on passing downs consistently in 2025.
All right, so just a quick little exercise here, Jeremiah Love. And I know you don't like put numerical grades on summer scouting guys, but vibe checking here. Of the running backs taken in the first round since 2021, so we'll go back to Najee and Travis Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
Would you draft Jeremiah Love over Najee?
Yes.
Travis?
Yes.
Travis? Bijan?
No, not right now.
Jameer?
Yes.
Ashton?
No.
Omarion?
Yeah.
So about 50-50 there. So we put Jeremiah Love like more than 50-50 those first round running backs over the past since 2021.
Yeah, I think Bijan and JNT are the two guys that I wouldn't draft him above right now.
That's valid. I'd probably throw Jameer up there too. Jameer's so freaking good.
See, Jameer's issue was a little bit like Price's issue. He wasn't the focal point of that Alabama offense at any point. And mm-hmm. So I think that kind of hurt me a little bit when it came to his evaluation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I feel the same way. I'm trying to think. Jenty and him are like the same, like if it's NCAA football, like college football 25, they're the same like archetype of running back.
Yeah, the only difference between the two right now, like I think that Love is the more explosive player. And I think that the vision is there, the contact balance contact is there. Bounds. I don't think that the contact balance is quite as good.
Because Jansy like was like a legit ball.
Yeah. But he's just the more complete player right now because you saw the pass protection for years. You saw the pass catching for years. Yeah. And you just don't have that to go off of with Love.
Yeah. I mean, people forget that Ashton Jansy led all running backs in receiving yards in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing that happened. So cool. Let's move to the wide receivers since that's the next spot that people talk about most. So we've got Jaden Greathouse, we've got Jordan Faison, and we've got Malachi Fields. So let's start with Greathouse here. I know we work like backwards with the running backs. Let's start with Greathouse here. I'm very well versed on Greathouse because I did an hour and a half video on the Substack of breaking down Greathouse. So I really like Jaden Greathouse. I question if he has more athletic upside than like a Tyler Boyd, I think is my only concern. But again, Tyler Boyd out of Pitt was drafted in the second round, got a second contract from the Bengals, and was a very productive slot receiver his entire career. So like, that's not necessarily I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but what I'm saying with Greathouse is like, I think his route running is spectacular. The way he sells his stems with his eyes and his hips, like all in sync, everything like that. Keeps defensive backs on their heels. I think he's got some nice hand swiping off the line of scrimmage against press man, like some pretty natural separation against press as well, even from the slot. I don't see top end. I don't see a second, third gear from Greathouse. Again, do I think that he can win at the first and second level of the field all day? But can he win on the vertical plane? And again, he did in that Penn State game because the DB fell down. Right. He did in the Ohio State game because it was like inside the 30 slot fade. Right. So like the field was a little bit condensed there. So but like, can he take the top off? And that's not where I'm quite sure that he has that ability. And I think it also shows up in his creativity after the catch. I'm just not quite sure he's super creative after the catch when transitioning from a pass catcher to a ball carrier. But again, the fine details of route running, the fine details of knowing how to find ways to get open. I think Jaden Greathouse is excelling in those areas of playing the position.
I vehemently disagree with what I saw from him post catch.
Really?
I think that the creativity is absolutely there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched him beat three guys after the catch on the touchdown against Ohio State.
That one
made
he did.
Three guys look silly. I mean, but even like when you sit down and you watch three games, like how many opportunities do you really get to see of a guy doing that? I mean, half of the time when you catch a football, the guy's close enough to where you really can't show that as well. You know what I mean? And it's not like they're sitting there and giving him all of these catches right at the line of scrimmage to be able to show that either on screens. Like that's where we normally see it. We see it because we see a guy who is getting the ball immediately. Usually because he can't actually run routes or because the quarterback stinks. And that's kind of the way that we see it. But with him, when I texted you about him, he's exactly what I think everybody wanted Xavier Restrepo to be. He's just the supercharged version of him. Now, Restrepo was a little bit different because Restrepo was used a little bit more like Cooper Kupp in
at his LA, size,
where like he would be like, a lead blocker on run plays coming across the formation. And you're not getting that from Greathouse. But like as a three level threat from the slot. And I know that you were talking about his juice, and I do think the vertical juice is part of the reason why he is in the slot in and the not slot. On the outside at his size. But my first thing here on the notes are wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. That's literally in my notes. The dude is so smooth, so silky. Mm-hmm. The route running is outrageous, like you said. He is a lot of fun. And I wrote down in my notes, like, no matter what happens with him, he's going to be a professional chain mover at the next level. Mm-hmm. And I kind of likened it to Cole Beasley.
But he's Cole Beasley, that's, yeah, I could see
but
that.
He's, yeah. 20 pounds heavier, 25 pounds heavier.
Right. That's why I like Tyler Boyd was the name that stuck out to me, like the Tyler Boyd kind of player. So yeah, I just I'm glad that you mentioned
he's a little bit more jittery than Boyd. Like he's is a little smooth like jittery. Boyd too, but he's like more jittery. Like
he's a sudden mover.
He's like too. That. Yeah. He's got a sudden like the step. White guy, like the white guy suddenness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the
yeah,
slot. Yeah.
His playthrough contact shocked me. And not so much like working down the field. I think he can get rerouted a little bit off like when DBs do get their hands on him a little bit. But like his ability to catch through contact is mm-hmm. tremendous. And I had to go back and look it up using PFF's data afterwards after I finished my write-up because I was like, well, it's got to be something crazy. Contested catch 11 of 13, 84.6% from a slot receiver.
Yeah, obviously again, a very small like, sample size, but that's out, an outrageous number.
Yeah, how in one drop all season, a 2% drop rate. And you had mentioned like, oh, it's kind of like in a supercharged body what Xavier Restrepo did. Like Xavier Restrepo was the same way. That dude would take a helmet on the chin over mm-hmm. on a dig over the middle and be like, yeah, I'm good. We're good. Yep. Let's get up. Let's do it again.
And that's why you love those guys.
Yeah, that's why I love those guys. So,
let's we got to move on to Fields now. We got to get going here.
So Malachi Fields. Malachi Fields, I struggle with the same way they struggled with Elik Iomana in this last class. And I'm not comparing them as the players because I think Iomana is a way better athlete, like pure athlete than Fields is. But what I mean by I struggle the same way is they're big dudes who want to play like little dudes in the way that they move, the way that they run routes, the way that they try to win. And it's like, I just want you to use your body a little bit. You know, like I don't think that that Malachi Fields is exceptionally strong working down the field vertically. I don't think he's exceptionally strong being pressed off the line of scrimmage, but I do think he has like, oh, that's a pretty good hip sync for a dude who's 6'4", 220. Oh, that's a pretty smooth, like that guy's moving pretty smoothly for a guy who's 6'4", 220, but like he doesn't possess the physical dominance of a receiver that I want in the body of a 6'4", 220 receiver. Does that make sense?
It would make sense if that's what I saw from him. But okay, we're going to disagree here. We're going to disagree here.
I don't
here.
Feel like he was like very physical at all. Like catch point.
I see him as a less explosive Trey Harris. I don't. The juice really isn't there for me. There's no vertical threat from him whatsoever.
He's like probably a 4.5 guy. Yeah.
Malachi Fields in his game reminds me of Mike Williams. Like he's just going to be a guy that catches the sideline passes that are leveraged away from defenders.
I think that's what he's going to have to do at the NFL level.
Yeah. The problem is I don't love his hands in those situations.
He's got a lot of bobble catches.
There's some bobble catches and there's some catches just like away from his frame where he doesn't finish. And he definitely should finish these plays. But then there are other times where I see him attacking the football with authority. And I think that he's actually stronger playing through contact when he's finishing than he is when there's open space and he's kind of reaching out and trying to finish. But like if he's running for whatever reason, like he's running a quick flat route and he turns his head around quick and is trying to find the football, he'll find the football and it'll be a little bit off target. And he'll like try to extend out and get it and he'll drop that one. But then if he's fighting through contact and he's got his feet underneath of him and he's able to actually find and attack the football through contact, he's able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's a first off the bus guy for sure. His build is outrageous. He's a willing blocker. I thought that he finished well through contact. I thought that he played with more than enough physicality. I do like you said, manipulative as a route runner, plays a little bit like IU Manor in that way where like he wants to play a little bit smaller as a route runner. I do think that he could use his frame a little bit more as a route runner.
Mm-hmm.
but I think he's trying to be a really good route runner. You know what I mean? Like the big guys, like sometimes they just know they're not going to be separators. And so they use their frames really well. And I do think that that's where you miss out a little bit with Malachi Fields. And if he can figure out how to be that same route runner that he is now while also maximizing his frame, his length, and just flat out offense pass interference, bro, every single time, because you're going to have to, because you're not explosive enough to separate naturally. Good football player. I really do like him. But from an NFL perspective, I struggle with guys who I think he's going to be a 4-6 guy. Like I think it's very much
4-5. Yeah, probably 4. Yeah.
I think he's slow, man.
I see a second gear. I can see him throttle up a little bit. Like he'll come off the line of scrimmage and then he'll take off. Like I've seen.
I don't think the long speed's there at all.
But it's not. But that tempo is, and maybe he can catch a little.
Yeah, and that's why I think that he can separate a little bit in that at that mm-hmm. first and second level. He just reminds me of Kelvin Harmon.
Any wide receiver you try to say like he reminds me of, it's like, oh, well, that's an end of the roster guy or a guy who's not in the league, you know. And that's just kind of what I feel
it
as well. Like
me.
I think my biggest concern is like at Virginia, most of his catches. Well, I shouldn't say most. A lot of his catches were like RPO hitches and speed outs at 6'4", 220. It's like, you're not going to be winning that way at the NFL level. The way that you'll win at the NFL level are like back shoulder fades. He does have some pretty decent like digs and posts over the middle that he'll haul in.
Mm-hmm.
For the, like a lot of his production is like these little hitches, these little speed outs. And it's like, what do I do with a 6'4", 220 pound guy that just predominantly wins underneath? Like, what do I do with
and it's
that?
Not even, it's not winning underneath. It's just
no,
situationally
it's just like,
you're
it's
open.
Situationally you're open. Yeah. And so I think that's the biggest part of his profile that I struggle with. He'll run through your face after the catch, though. And you've mentioned like he's willing to block too. Mm-hmm. So like he's not creative after the catch, but he's like, okay, well, I'm 6'4", 220. I just wish like when he's jockeying for position, when he's jockeying for like control while working vertically, I wish that physicality came out a little bit. At the top of routes, I wish that physicality came out a little bit. And that's when I'm like, man, you play small.
And here's the last thing that I'll touch on him. He's got to improve his conditioning. Mm-hmm. I don't bring that up with a lot of guys. His was unbelievably noticeable.
Yeah. I see why Notre Dame offered him, though, because the Notre Dame tape's mm-hmm. pretty good. The Notre Dame's tape's pretty good. He had 4 catches on 8 targets, but...
Oh, yeah. I think he's a good football player, but it's just like from an NFL perspective, I wonder about the projection.
It's a day 3 pick. He's a day 3 pick. Like, what... I mean, what separates him from like a Dontavian Wicks, who was a day 3? That's another Virginia guy. So that's like, I'm not doing that because they're Virginia guys, but like what separates him from Dontavian Wicks? Kind of the same mold of a bigger body dude with kind of this kind of skill set, but not a lot of vertical juice, some iffy bobble catches. Like it feels like the same kind of profile. There aren't a lot of quarterbacks who just throw back shoulder fades and that's what they specialize in anymore. Like the Aaron Rodgers is like the only one that comes to my mind that's still playing where they're just like, yeah, timing back shoulder fades. I'm going to live off of that.
Joe Burrow,
that seems fine with Aaron Justin Rodgers, does, but well, yeah, he's going to have to probably find one of those situations. And those are very few and far between, I think. So, Jordan Faison, I'll let you start on this one.
He's just a fun college football player.
Mm-hmm. He's twitched up.
Yeah.
He's tough really to have... hands on.
I don't really have a lot to say about Faison. He didn't
stay on the field. I think that's where I start.
Yeah, he didn't do all that much to truly impress me. Sneaky smooth. He's deceptive. I love how aggressive he is coming back and getting the ball coming back to the mm-hmm. quarterback. But like, he tries too hard sometimes and loses balance and just will slip, fall in transition. I think his feet are overall just too frenetic in transition, which makes him a little bit clunky at times as a route runner. Like the natural juice is there. The natural agility is there. I just think that he tries too hard sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a little bit more manipulative and focus less on just using his natural agility to try to win. And then just... underwhelming frame, especially for an outside receiver.
5'10", 184.
Poor play strength.
Yeah, for sure. So we can't not talk about a Notre Dame offense without bringing up offensive linemen and tight ends, which just seems like Notre Dame pops out a lot of them. But Dalton, I don't think that any of these offensive linemen are... Again, summer scouting is difficult, right? Because now I'm second-guessing myself because last summer I took a leap on a guy with awesome athletic traits who was raw with his technique, and then that technique didn't develop, and now that makes me want to... Like Emory Jones, like we were last year. And now that makes me want to say, like, well, if, like, you're kind of clunky, then, I'm not going to be as eager to take a shot on you, even if I see the traits. I don't know if there's an offensive lineman... And their left tackle is not even draft eligible. And I also would think that he would be in a rush because I don't think his freshman season tape was great. None of these offensive linemen really stood out to me, man.
As a unit, there might not be a better one. But individually, I kind of agree. When we look at the guys, I think Emil Wagner is the one that you would probably want to look at right tackle.
Yeah, Vines, yeah.
He's got a issue body. With Wagner. Is he's 290. He's 290 and he's clunky.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to do. And this is the guy who is coming up from about 265 and is kind of struggling, from what I've heard, kind of struggling to put on more good weight. And so if he's a guy that's going to be 290 with a little bit of athletic ceiling that isn't very high, that's going to be tough even with Vines. But like, you're right, the length is impressive. I love his eyes. He mirrors and redirects well because of the length, but the not length. Because of his feet. And then I really enjoy his demeanor as an offensive lineman. He's proactive, but he's patient. The problem with that patience is that he can get run through his face every once in a while. Now, I thought that he did a very good job against Shamar Stewart and against Nick Scorton in week one. And then as the year went on, I thought that he played pretty well as well. And then once you get to a guy with speed, and I'm talking about the best pass rusher in college football last year, right, Abdul Carter, but Abdul Carter with one arm.
He had to exclusively rush from that side, yeah.
And speed rushes were a massive issue because Emil was just opening up the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, like, there's not a lot of lateral explosiveness. His pad level rises as well very, very quickly. I don't love his knee bend. Strike power with the outside hand, particularly to disallow that arc rush, is not really there. And that's part of like the patience in his game and just the way that Notre Dame kind of teaches it. And then against Penn State, not even just against Abdul Carter, his hands were on guys' face masks a lot in that game. And so that's something to watch as well. So, yeah, just kind of underwhelming day three guy for me right now. But don't really need to talk about him. Let's talk about Eli real quick.
Eli Raritan, this is probably the last one, too. Yeah, so does he have a trait that really stands out to you?
I was going to say, can I start? Because I can start by just saying no.
Yeah. Plus, the he's trait got injury history too. Seven? Yeah,
that's it. He's not explosive. He's stiff. He's I think a technically sound blocker, but he's not an overly powerful blocker. I don't see him as much of anything except for maybe a depth guy. But I don't know if he's an NFL player.
I don't think so either, with two ACL tears already in history as well.
I think that there's a chance that the two younger guys play more than him this year.
They should. Yeah. So when we're talking about Notre Dame's offense, we're talking about Jaden Greathouse, we're talking about Jeremiah Levin, we're talking about Jadarian Price, pretty much.
And Fields, as a college football players.
Fields, for sure. Yeah. But as like a tier separation there between Fields and those other guys. And then again, you know, if Kenny, they're still having an active quarterback competition between CJ Carr and Kenny Minchie. I mean, but we're talking about Minchie is a redshirt sophomore. And again, quarterbacks have no reason to leave college early unless they get a top five guarantee, because they can make this year upwards of $6 million. And again, that price is just going to keep going up. So nothing to talk about there either. So that's pretty much the extent of it. Anything else you want to add, Dalton, here?
No, I love you guys.
There we go. We'll be back to talk about some Notre Dame defense tomorrow, but that's it for now. Take it easy, and until next time, this has been another episode of the Dap on Draft Podcast.